Guten Tag.
Oh.
We're here again.
Yeah, we are. And so are you.
Oh, my God.
Thank God.
For real.
I never know if anyone's going to come back.
I just feel like I need somebody here to, like, you know, diffuse the tension with Sarah and I sometimes.
Isn't that why we have Logan?
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah. He's here, too.
Yes. Welcome back, bitches. It's
You're
Othered.
Here. Yeah, Othered. It's your favorite podcast.
Yeah, with your favorite podcast hosts. I have been listening to myself say like the STS on the ends of words.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Firsts,
hosts.
I love it. I think language is beautiful. I think spoken language is really powerful.
Me too, but that particular
sound.
Yes. I don't like when I say it.
Why not?
Because it's like I add another syllable.
What?
Hosts.
Well, yeah. And?
How do you say hosts?
Hosts.
Okay. I don't know.
It's the word.
I know. I just don't like when I say it.
Okay.
Because well, the extra S in the end feels like a totally different thing.
Yes. Because it's like podcast host. Podcast hosts.
Yeah.
Hosts.
Anyway, hosts. See, what I want to say is hosts.
Right. It reminds me of the word hostess.
That's what I feel like I'm saying.
Happening. Do you know what? For the longest time, I was so self-conscious anytime I ever had to pronounce a word that had the word S in it because I had a little bit of a lisp or somebody asked me about my lisp.
You have a lisp?
No, it's just a little bit of an elongated S, which is a code signifier for other gay people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I started emulating that in high school, and my English teacher, my ninth grade English teacher, asked me, she was like, so what's
are you
lisp?
Gay?
Yeah.
Pretty much is what
essentially, but I was at a Christian high school and it was like, oh God, oh no, I feel seen. Ooh. Don't see me, what the fuck.
Interesting.
You know, don't call me out for being a faggot.
Whoa.
I can say that word.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you educate your like straight uneducated listeners?
Yeah, so here's the deal. It's like oh, code signifier. Absolutely.
And like what the lisp would be. Yeah. Tell me a little more of that.
So it's a thing that happens linguistically in cultures, you know, and you can see this even, you know, potentially in your own life. When you're with somebody that you want to be closer with, that you change the way you speak to match theirs.
Mm. It's like a form of mirroring.
Yeah, it is kind of a form of mirroring. And you'll notice this too. Like, I don't know if you've ever like been in a group of people, who have a very specific way of talking or like say things in a different way or have like a certain vernacular that you'll start to mirror those things in order to be accepted by that group, to be in the in group, right? And so for gay people, there are certain ways that we speak, and this has been studied, that kind of sound
or
the
tells.
Alarm yeah or like tells or like yeah. sound the alarm for other gay people to be like, oh yeah, look, that person is a gay person and I would feel, you know, safe with them or something, you know, that like, oh, that person's a homo,
similar to like Ebonics,
yeah,
but
sort of, yes,
for the gay community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except yeah, it's different, I think, in some way, because, and I said this on two podcasts ago, that a lot of gays try to pass, and I don't think that that's true anymore, and I wanted to correct myself on that, but that is like a concept for gay people that we, you know, have in the past, especially, tried to fly under the radar of, you know, dominant culture to not be perceived as gay. Yeah. And that was a safety issue. And I think also, you know, we had lives that we needed to lead without people judging us for being gay.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens to some degree still in the 21st century. But to a lesser degree, you know, homosexuality has been, you know, more widely accepted here in the U.S., but not globally.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens the way that people dress, things like, you know, do you remember that I think it was like a safety pin that people started wearing? I think it was post George Floyd, where people were like, white people were wearing a safety pin to say like, I'm a safe person to talk to about race.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Logan? It was a social media thing. It came up, and I don't know if it was specifically about race or if it was about homosexuality or whatever, but it was like, it was very specifically to say, like, I'm an ally. Like, you can, if you see the safety pin that I'm wearing, just like in plain as day.
Okay.
But it's like, it's like one of those things.
Okay.
Americans don safety pins in solidarity with minorities from PBS in 2016.
There you go.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It wasn't post George Floyd. It was post 2016. But yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I forget where I was going with that. Oh, we were talking about language and this. Yeah. And feeling like I had to, I don't know, butcher it up. You know, I had to talk butchered like a man, up. You know.
So when I talk a lot dirtier when you two are around, it's because I'm trying to fit in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Right. I get it.
I love that for you, Logan.
Poor Logan.
I know.
Look at me. I fit in with the other cast
now.
Oh,
my God.
And I also want to apologize to our listeners if the word faggot offended you. I'm so sorry. I have been,
suck it up, bitch.
I've been trying to reclaim that word for myself because it had been used derogatorily towards me in the past. And I think for me, it's like an aspect of my life of saying, like, yeah, I'm gay. And I am loud and proud about it. And I don't think that anybody calling me that word should really, you know, hurt me as much as it did in the past. You know, that I can claim for myself my own gayness, my own faggotry, you know, my own like flamboyance, you know, the way that I embody myself. But it's it has been, you know, a really hard word for people to get past. So I am sorry. So, you know,
it's also not, I guess, and, you know, tell me if I'm speaking out of turn, but I feel like it's a positive thing that Sarah and I then have a reaction to it. Like,
oh,
that's,
yeah.
We as a society have decided, along with a handful of other words,
right,
that word no longer fits in our worlds.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, in American Fiction, which we're all going to watch.
Yeah. Is it on Prime yet?
It is, but you have to pay for it.
Okay.
So, yeah. I purchased it, so we can
did
all watch it together.
Did you buy the movie or did you rent it?
I bought it.
Okay.
Ooh,
got
watch
it.
Party.
I know, because... Anyway, but in the very beginning scene, Monk, the main character, is a black man. He's teaching a class on like American literature, yeah, and the N-word is said. And this white girl is like, I just feel like we should not have to read and learn about things where the N-word is used because it's so derogatory. And he was like, respectfully, Karen, like, if I can read literature with the N-word in it, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And she like leaves the class. So is... thinking about that, like, if Logan and I are like, we don't say the F word in here, are you like, okay, snowflakes, like, calm the fuck down, shut up?
Well, the thing is, yeah, like, do you know what, I would be okay, like, if you called me that, you
which
know, because
I
like we
wouldn't
have like a relationship,
right? Which
right?
I would still would never.
I don't think I could hear that from a straight man,
sure,
and feel okay about it. You know what I mean? Like, it would not be okay.
So not just hearing it from a straight man, but what if like it's in a certain form of context.
Context is massive.
Yeah.
Right? So like if it's said lovingly by people that I know and love, then it's okay.
So if we're reading a book and I'm like, excuse me, everyone, I do not want to read about the gays being labeled as the F word.
Well, then you don't care about our history. You know, you don't care about the experiences that we've had in the past or the ones that we have today, you know. And Larry Kramer is this famous gay author and AIDS activist. He wrote, I think, was it Normal Heart? It was a Broadway play. And, you know, it's pretty vocal about gay and, you know, LGBTQ liberation in the 80s and 90s. He wrote a whole book. The title is called Faggots. And it's a satire of gay life. You know, it's part satirical, part like, I don't know, expose on gay life. And this main character that's kind of modeled after himself. And he was kind of, you know, a, I don't know, narcissist. He like only wrote about himself and his own stories, which is fine. But, yeah, the title of the book's called Faggots. You know, it's all about gay people, and it's, you know, but it's in love, you know, like you could tell that he loves his community, you know, even though he's saying that he's having problems with it and in it, finding love and whatnot. So I don't know. It's not easy.
It's not a one size fits all answer.
Yeah, it's nuanced.
Because I always find it funny when white people are like, "Oh, the N word is so offensive." I'm like, really? Why does it offend you? Who like have never been called it and have no emotional attachment to it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you find offensive about that word?
Right.
Not like for us.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's what my thought or my takeaway is from what both of you are saying.
Yeah.
Is that like, it's okay that not all language is for me.
Right.
Right. Mm. Like, those are your words.
Pertinent.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're going to write a book mm-hmm. and you're going to use those words, then that's for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? I like that reclamation idea of language. Mm-hmm. Like, that those words are not for me to use
mm-hmm.
to or for you.
Yeah.
They're for you to use and for, you know, and then if you're telling me something, that's for me to receive.
Right. Well, because it's not a word, you know, for cis hetero white people.
Correct.
You know, it's like that's derogatory in some way. Like, I think the closest is cracker, you know, but it's like that doesn't carry the weight, you know, of the F word or the N word. You know, it just doesn't.
Well, because we haven't been oppressed.
Exactly.
The same way. Like, it's not. Yeah. That history isn't there.
Right. Yeah. It just doesn't carry the same weight.
Yeah.
It doesn't hold water.
Yeah. Which is really exciting that this is all coming up.
Yeah.
Because this has to do with what we want to talk about today.
I love how it was kind of like an effortless segue.
I know. Oh my God. It's like we all have just recorded hours together.
I know.
It's so cute. We're becoming the same person.
Yeah.
The best segues are the ones you point out.
Yeah, exactly. Because Sarah and I had been talking today about spaces that aren't necessarily for cis hetero white people
mm-hmm.
and how those kinds of people lose their ever loving minds when something is not for them.
Yes, they do.
And you know, this has shown up in a couple of different ways in both of our lives, mm-hmm. but this is kind of happening a little bit more frequently for you, Sarah.
Yeah, so I have been teaching a yoga class for people of color for about a year,
mm-hmm.
and I love this class because this is what I wanted to do.
Yeah, I remember going through yoga teacher training with you,
yeah.
and Sarah had asked us like who we thought, you know, we wanted to bring yoga to,
mm-hmm.
like what it was, what our passions were, who were our niche.
Yeah, audience. Who's our community?
Yeah.
And I have always thought that my community was Black and brown people and that I really wanted to give this, to me, it's a gift of yoga and the things it can do for your mind and spirit and body to Black and brown people because I see what it's done for me. I want other people to have these same experiences and feel safe in their body because that's something that has been taken from marginalized people in general, but particularly Black and brown people, especially when this practice originated in Black and brown people's cultures and then has been just fucking colonized and stolen and appropriated and all the things that happen here in America.
Colonized and then sold to white people.
Exactly. Yep. And now it's white people's ancient practice.
Right.
It's like, how does that work?
Okay.
But in this space of teaching people for color yoga, every now and then there's a white person who feels the need to message me or speak out or be offended because I have created a space that is not for them.
Mm.
And just last week, I had someone message me and they were like, "Hi, Sarah. I'm just wondering if your people of color yoga class is just for people of color or is it for everyone?" And I said, "Hi, and if you're listening, don't fucking ask dumb questions if you don't want it to be brought up on the podcast."
Right.
But I said, "Hi, yeah, the people of color yoga class.
It's in the name, babe.
Is just for people of color." And she was like, "Oh, that seems like a dumb question, but I just thought I would clarify." First of all, why? Why did you feel the need to go out of your way to message me to ask if a class that said for people of color is just for people of color?
Yeah.
I don't message like churches and be like, "Hey, is your Easter celebration
just for
people who thought that Jesus rose from the dead? Or is it for like the satanic worshipers too?" Like, I just, I literally cannot in my mind understand why people do that.
I love that,
that
we just compared white people to Satanists. I fucking love that. That is hilarious.
Totally unintentional. But if you make the connection, I guess you make the connection.
The white devil.
Yeah, the white devil. But I'm just like, why do people get so uncomfortable when a space is explicitly not for them?
Especially when every other space is explicitly for them.
Right.
It's like, okay, so I was thinking about this on the way here. This kind of situation reminds me of this. The way I want to paint it is like a group of children. Right. And what a couple of these children, you know, always have their parents bring their cupcakes for their birthdays. And it's always kind of all about them. Like, they get the best seats in the classroom, the best seats in the cafeteria. They get like prime time and more time on recess, you know, to, you know, live their best little kid lives, you know, while some of the kids don't, you know. And so it's like, OK, now that we're trying to make this a little bit more equitable, right, where like this extra recess time isn't, you know, being taken away from white people, but is, you know, now we're having a separate time for the other kids. It's like the kids that have been pampered and, you know, taken care of in the best way this whole time are getting mad because it's not for them. It's like, well, what do you mean I don't get this extra space? You know, it's like, it wasn't really for you to begin with.
No.
You know?
But like, I don't, you know, we live here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where inherently the majority of the spaces that exist today were not created for me as a black person, as a woman.
Right.
And for you either, as a gay man.
I mean, if I'm not passing.
Right. Unless you decide to butch it up.
Right.
And not wear your Britney Spears crop top.
Exactly.
But like, why? I never see a flyer that makes me feel excluded and then clarify, you know, like, am I welcome here at this gun rally?
Yeah. And I think another part of this conversation that I think is important to bring in is this idea that typically nowadays racism and exclusion isn't overt.
Right.
It is covert. Like, I don't think you would go to, you know, the owner of any, you know, white space and be like, is it okay if black people come here? They would be like, well, yeah, of course we accept everybody. But the culture of that space would say otherwise, you know, and the different like other nitty gritty things would also kind of say the same thing, you know, without saying it out loud. It's they're saying the quiet part quiet.
Right.
You know what I mean? The things like could be cost prohibitive or, you know, there's no accessibility, you know, and it's like, okay, sure, everybody's welcome, but you're only welcome if you can, you know, pass these tests, you know, like, you know, the test that they gave to people to vote, you know what I mean, to have, be eligible to vote. You had to be able to read, you know, you had to be able to do X, Y, and Z. And it's like, okay, you're not saying black people can't vote, but you're saying black people can't vote.
Right. I just find it all very strange.
It's maddening, you know. And I don't know, right? And I don't know what her what is the word? It's like her motivation was behind it, you know. Maybe she's asking an honest question, but it comes from and it belies this idea that everything is for her to begin with, you know, and why? Why does it have to be for you? If it's yoga for people of color, why are you asking this question?
Well, and it's like, do you even do yoga?
Right.
No. So why do you care about this one class?
Yeah.
The last person that did this, you know, made a, is this class for only people of color or is it for all colors of people? And it's like, it's just for the colored people, just like it says. But they went on this rampage and called the yoga studio racist. They made posts about me in particular.
Racist against white people.
Yes, that were racist, that were bringing back segregation.
Okay.
And I was like, I just really feel like that's a stretch.
Okay. Yeah.
I felt that okay in my soul.
I just, I don't. don't know. Logan, since you're the only cis hetero white person here, yes, whom all spaces are created for.
Correct.
What do you think about spaces being specifically for people of color or like for women, if there's women's groups or, you know, like how you had That's told Caleb point. Form his little Caleb gay cult. Sex cult.
So,
yeah,
Caleb just wants to be worshipped.
He does.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you on all fronts. I do have a really weird question. I don't know if it's weird or not, but I want to have a clear understanding.
Ask.
Because, like, we live in a world now, as we should, where people take a lot of control over their identities, right? And ownership over their identities. And sometimes spaces, or sometimes we have people in our community, in our society, who identify as something that maybe they don't portray from perspective, right?
Sure.
Somebody who identifies as a woman but doesn't present traditionally as what we understand to be a woman or think of as a woman,
sure,
right? Mm-hmm. I think about this because I, technically am of mixed race, but I am pretty white presenting, and own that.
Mm-hmm.
I do, and as I work on this show and as I think more about like my background and as I have a child and I think more about owning more parts of my culture and my life, like, what spaces should I feel okay stepping into, right? So it becomes like, what does people of color mean, right? And what are the limits there? And that, I think, hopefully comes from good intention, but it's like, how do we decide what spaces are appropriate for everybody? You're right. You're totally right. It really doesn't matter because there are 100 other spaces I can go be in, right? But I think those hard lines are not always super clear.
Totally.
That is different than somebody messaging you and challenging something, right? Mm-hmm. Or saying you're bringing back segregation. That's totally different.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm curious about those blurred lines.
I think for me, you know, as you, the proverbial you, as we learn more about people and identity, like if you identify as a person of color or a woman and happen to be white passing or, you know, male passing, you go where you feel comfortable. If you would feel comfortable coming into a class for people of color with people who not only identify racially as someone of color, but culturally, generally, I think that would be the thing, is like the cultural part.
Totally.
Then come. I don't care. There's a gazillion different shades of color, right? But
and that's interesting too, right? As there are people who I think live and identify as a person of color, but who are, let's just say, a very different shade than many other people of color.
Yeah, and we get that. And colorism is like a whole nother topic that is super deep. But then come. But I also feel like if you're a white person, or if you're a white passing person or just a white person and you're asking about this people of color class, come if you want, but you're going to feel very uncomfortable.
Sure.
And so I would never say absolutely not, you cannot come, but I would wonder why it was so important to you to come to something that you don't actually involve yourself in any other time or
experience.
Space.
Yeah. Yes. Right? And I think, you know, there's, oh God, my brain is kind of exploding when you were talking about that. I think there's also this experience of in gay culture, you know, where bi people feel erased, right? And there's a lot of bi people who are in heteronormative relationships too, you know, and I think, you know, that gay spaces are open to them. You know, they're in a queer relationship in some way, you know, but sometimes, you know, they don't necessarily always like accept that, you know, like their partner maybe not accepting it, you know. And I think we had a yoga and trans class, yoga for trans and queer people.
Yeah.
And I had a couple people show up and it was like, I'm not going to turn you away. You know what I mean? But you realize that you're in this space for this community. if you're not that community, I need you to shut up. Mm-hmm. You know, sit down and take the back seat. You know what I mean? It's like, this space isn't necessarily for you. You can be here. You know, I'm going to love you. But like, when it comes to our experiences are going to be centered here mm-hmm. in yeah. this space. This isn't like, okay, Karen walks into a room for people of a yoga class for people of color and then to start centering her own experience. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I think that's what white people tend to do.
Yeah. Right.
Is we tend to center our own experience in spaces that are not for us. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And it's obnoxious.
I really like that answer. I like that idea of like, the space is not for you, mm-hmm. but if you know, but we're not going to turn you away, right? Right? Mm-hmm. If you want to sit in the back and learn yeah. And be here,
absolutely,
then you're welcome. But mm-hmm. this is centered around these experiences, yeah. and then you can decide, mm-hmm. yeah, this isn't my space, mm-hmm. or this is a space I do feel like I want to be a part of, yeah. and I do want to like. Become, you know, get further into this. This yeah. is for me.
We've all had conversations with those people who, you know, if you're talking with a friend and another person comes in and then they just start to dominate the conversation.
Right.
That's white people.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and it's like, this is an AB conversation, you know, like yes.
See your way sit out, down, bitch.
You know, like you don't have to be the loudest, most obnoxious, yes. taking up the most space in this room. You know,
yep.
and straight people do that at gay bars too. You know, when they come in, like, well, I'm straight. You know,
and they're
I'm
having an experience,
right? And it's like, okay, see you later. Yeah. You know, this isn't for you.
Hurry
you're making this about you when this is our place. Mm-hmm. You know,
like, yeah.
get the fuck out.
I used to do that a lot in my early 20s.
I'm sorry.
Well, I feel like we all have to learn.
Found my space.
You know, yeah. I feel like that as an ally. Sometimes
yeah.
because I know, you know, like at Harmony Fest last year, we had a yoga for queer and trans mm-hmm. and ally class. Mm-hmm. And there were like three people who identified as allies in that group. But mm-hmm. even then I'm like, I'm an ally and I want you to know that I'm here to support you. But this experience is not about allies, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like yep. it is about the queer community. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm here to like, be here and support, but I don't want to make this about me. Like,
right.
I don't want to take a lot of time introducing mm-hmm. myself and telling you why allyship is important, because you know why allyship is important. You don't need another right. person.
Yeah.
To
if
sit
you
here.
Know what allyship is about, then be an ally.
Yeah. Just be an ally. And yeah. sometimes that looks like shutting the fuck up
right.
and like holding the space for the people who are, you know, experiencing
yeah.
these experiences to share.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah. So I totally get it.
Yeah. And I, you know, I just have a question for, you know, whoever the person was beforehand, you know, like, why is this such a big deal to you? Why do you feel like you have to insert yourself into this space?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's that about for you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the motivation here?
Yeah. No, not just, but everybody. And I don't know because I don't think that way.
Mm.
You know?
Right. Well, that hasn't been your experience of life. You
it
know,
hasn't.
Where everything has been given to you. You
no.
Know?
Well, and not to say that I don't experience privilege, because
sure.
I do. However, in this particular setting
mm.
or going to yoga classes or participating in wellness events,
mm.
I am never the privileged person there. I shouldn't say never the privileged person, because I'm sure there's things I don't know about people, but
sure.
I'm never racially prioritized
yeah.
in those spaces.
And I think, you know, even if, and I think it's important, again, to realize that, like, it's not always just said out loud, you know, it's like culturally sometimes, too,
mm-hmm.
where, like, as a gay person walking into a predominantly straight space, like, sometimes culturally it doesn't feel like I belong.
And then you probably mm-hmm. won't return.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're going to email the establishment and be like, listen, this was supposed to be a space for everyone.
Right.
I mean, you just kind of like go to where you fit. You don't
yeah.
have to make a big deal about it. But also I feel like, is that just because so many spaces are historically not for us that mm. we just like are like, fuck it, let's keep it moving. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, I'm kind of, right?
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, I'll speak for all white people again.
Sure.
Like, we're just used to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Like, you've been doing yoga for people of color for a while now. I see it on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And to clarify my question earlier, I have never once seen a post for yoga for people of color and thought, oh yeah, I should go to that. Like, that's never
right.
crossed my mind.
right.
I do think of yoga as a predominantly white practice.
Oh, yeah.
Just like stereotypically.
Yeah.
Right. And if yoga for people of color is not for me, yoga will again be for me in an hour. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Like, yes, an hour later.
Yes. I'm absolutely.
Whatever.
Right.
You know, there's plenty of space. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Yes. It's that idea that, oh, now something is not for us when we're so used to it being for mm-hmm. us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That feels weird. We're not used to it.
Yeah. It definitely feels normalized. Like it's like showing like the spoiled brat.
Totally.
Syndrome of white people.
Unintentionally, you know? Right. Probably, right? But.
Right. Well, it's subconscious.
Yep. Subconscious. Right? Yep.
But then it shows itself and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I feel that way. That's cute.
Yeah. You don't realize you're spoiled until you have something taken away.
Right. And it's, yeah, it's so frustrating, you know, because it does operate under this, like, you know, this under the radar
yep.
now so much, you know, like Jim Crow laws are done away with, you know, in name.
Yes.
You know.
In writing.
But, yeah, and in writing, but like legally, right? But like.
Are upheld.
Yeah. It's covert. Like, it's unsaid, yes. You know, it still happens, you know, where like. I know what spaces aren't really for me, mm-hmm. you know, like I'm not going to go into a church, you know, into like a men's like Bible study, you know, like I know that none of those people really will see.
They're not centering.
Yeah.
Your
they're
experience.
Not going to center my experience. In fact, they're like, my experience is, you know, sinful to them, you right. know, in a lot of ways, you know, depending on the church. I'm not going to speak for every church, but a lot of evangelical churches. Sure. But yeah, it's like, I know I'm not going to do that. You know, that's not for me.
And so. I notice a lot on holidays, particularly St. Patrick's Day,
ooh.
Because every fucking white person on the planet is suddenly Irish, which is like so weird.
Yeah.
I'm actually quite Irish.
Yeah.
I don't celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
I'm also Irish.
And it's like I have a way better reason than a lot of these people to be celebrating, and I don't do it. But you see everybody wearing green and doing these right. things. And then like Black History Month, where everyone probably is at least 1% African American. Just 1% if you take your little DNA test. Who celebrates that month? Nobody. Who celebrates Pride Month? It's like you see the spike, like you see yeah. everyone in town, like St. Patty's Day parade, and businesses are open that aren't normally open, and we have a fucking parade and we shut the street down, but Cedar Rapids Pride can't even fund their parade. So it's like
well, but it's also a totally different thing. Like they're we haven't designed them to be compared, Black History
right.
Month and St. Patty. Like St. Patrick's Day has very little to do with the history of Ireland or Irish people.
Oh, yeah.
It's made up.
It's yeah. green beer.
Right.
And it's, you know,
it's
corned beef and
holiday.
Cabbage.
Yes. Yeah.
It has nothing to do with like the culture of Ireland or Irish people.
Oh my
right.
God. I saw some stupid ass TikTok that was like, stop appropriating my Irish American culture, you know. Like, and I was like, oh no. And it was satirical, but it was hilarious, you know, the way that like these guys were like, well, you know, a real Irish person, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, at the end of the short, they were like, okay, I'll see you at Cinco de Mayo. You know, they were wearing sombreros and, like, yeah. had margaritas in hand. And it was just like, oh, no.
Cinco de Mayo's
but it was
too.
Like, yeah, it's like this thing. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Again, like, here's a space. Cinco de Mayo is not for any of you at all. Mm-hmm. And you're not even learning the historical context behind why this day is important, because it is important. Right. And it represents like a day for Mexicans to celebrate their independence and like heritage away from Caucasian life, which is like the opposite of what you guys are doing right now. But on a holiday that you could all participate in that has like actual context and education
right.
and like pride.
And is also deeply American.
Right. You're not
right,
so
disconnected,
right? But then again, if we had a yoga class for Hispanic people, I'm sure they'd be like, well, why can't I come?
Right.
Well, because you already celebrated Cinco de Mayo, you're
yeah.
fine.
I do. And maybe I don't know how I feel about that statement. I'm actually going to pocket that.
What statement?
No, I don't want to. I don't feel comfortable saying it.
Damn it.
That's fair.
Maybe I can broach this topic and maybe I can expand further.
Okay.
In a future episode, perhaps.
Okay.
But I do feel like there's a deeply American antagonism that is rooted in, you know, white versus black.
Mm.
And I don't see it as as hostile, as aggressive, or as insidious towards Latin Americans or Asian Americans. You know, not to say that those communities don't experience oppression and violence in their own way, but it's not to the degree that African Americans experience.
I definitely have some thoughts on that, and I'd like to unpack that at a later date.
Yeah,
definitely, it's a whole different conversation.
It's a whole different conversation, you know, because I think whiteness, you know, I think is kind of experiences itself as a hierarchy, you know.
But well, yeah, why aren't we, as Americans, spending an entire day doing the most stereotypically black things possible in February? Like, that just doesn't, that's not,
yeah,
like,
why aren't you guys eating watermelon
and fried chicken
and drinking the Kool-Aid?
Which is like, I mean, that's what these other days are.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Am I wrong? That would be so outrageous.
I know. Well, that's what a friend of mine actually said last
week.
Then why
are
we making a big deal?
For real.
Because they were like, then it'd be cultural appropriation. And I'm like, yeah, but I think, you know, there's, I suppose it is a fine line between appreciation and appropriation, but yeah. I'd like to see something. And this whole like acting like the month doesn't exist is not anywhere near either.
Sure.
You know, like we have a long way to go, I feel, before we get close to appropriating these particular holidays that other cultures. Well, that's not true. Right now we're appropriating and there's no appreciation.
Yeah.
But to actually appreciate, I think you would have a lot of appreciating to do before you get into the appropriation part.
Yeah, it's definitely about respect and honoring and appreciating, right?
Yeah, Black History Month and Cinco de Mayo are two ends of a spectrum, and neither one is the right way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, the lesson for white people is just, you know, stop.
Mind your own fucking business.
Mind your own fucking business. Stay in your own lane, you know, which is the whole highway. You know, let us have the bike lane for real.
Give us a bike lane.
Yeah.
Let us
we
be
got
in
a bike
ditch.
Lane and now just let us have it. Don't come into that bike lane.
Right.
Stay in your car. Stay in your little pretty SUV and
we'll
fuck
continue
off.
To walk.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. That's one last thing I was going to say because we were talking about allyship and all that, right? Is, you know, there's also spaces for allies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like I know when it's appropriate for me to go to an event, a function, and be an ally.
Yeah.
You know, I will attend Pride Fest, you know, and be an ally.
Oh, yeah.
And I also will only involve myself in certain parts of Pride Fest.
Sure.
Right? Because that's.
You're not going to be like the keynote speaker.
I probably
you know,
should not be up on stage.
At some gay pride event, you right. know? Right. Because that's not for you.
Right. Yoga for people of color is not a place where they need allies.
Right.
No.
That's not.
No.
It's not.
You know? Like, yeah.
But if you want to start a yoga class for allies, I totally support you in that.
Yes. Yoga for allies of people of color.
Yeah.
It's got a nice ring to it.
I do like it. Yeah. It rolls
just
off the tongue very nice.
Doing yoga.
Yeah. That's a class for you. Look for Logan's posts on Facebook.
Oh,
stay
girl.
Tuned.
Yeah, and the next time you go to a gay bar as a straight person, don't make it about you, baby.
Yeah, it's not about you.
It's not about you.
It's literally about you every other time.
Right.
Yeah, I feel safe going to a gay bar. I feel like
you're welcome.
Yeah, but, you know.
Tip well and then get the fuck out.
Right. Yeah, that sounds good.
Be nice to the drag queens. Yeah. Don't make it about you. Don't get on their dance floor. They'll kill you.
Yeah.
With their high heel. They'll stab you in the throat.
I mean, I haven't seen that bad, but I've definitely seen people get dragged off the stage. So it's not about you, baby.
Not about you, baby.
I think that's all we have to say.
That's all we have.
I mean,
This got right to the point. We got in there.
We had a nice little quickie.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Sometimes, you know, when all you have time for, it's just a
wham, blam.
Fast,
thank
intense.
You, ma'am.
Yes,
yeah,
just gotta get it off.
A little afternoon delight,
yeah, while the kids are at school,
exactly. Thank you so much for being a part of our lives, other community. Keep giving us a listen, go and rate and review us. Get Sarah off your back. Just do it. 5 stars. Follow us on Instagram, Othered the Podcast. And of course, show your love to other local creators. And That's all I got. You got anything?
No.
Okay.
You said it great.
Oh my God, I love you.
I love you. I love and you, I love listeners. You listeners. Oh my God, look at us. We're so aligned. Bye.
Bye.